What about in terms of Sentinel Node? And the NSABP has a trial. Where is that at right now?
Dr. Julian presented the initial results from that trial, which really consisted of the pathologic data and the accuracy data for the half of the trial that received a sentinel node biopsy plus an axillary node dissection. This was a trial of 5,600 patients randomized to sentinel node biopsy alone or sentinel node biopsy with an axillary node dissection. And the false negative rate in that trial was 9.5%, which some people thought was higher than it would be expected to be, but it's right in line with other multi-center trials, validation trials. There are individual institutional trials with much lower rates, you know, done by a few surgeons, and in some cases taking into account immunohistochemistry examination of the sentinel nodes, which was not done as part of the data he presented. It was done as part of the trial, but it was done centrally and it was blinded, so we don't know what the results of those were.
Where is sentinel node right now in terms of outside of a protocol setting in your point of view?
I think it probably should be standard of care for most patients who don't have a specific contraindication to it. It is in my practice since the completion of the trial. I think that's what I offer most patients with invasive breast cancer. I think there are a lot of questions that aren't answered yet that have been addressed in some small series and what I would call anecdotal reports. The issue of what to do with patients with multicentric disease, what to do with patients with DCIS. My approach to them is the very selective use of sentinel nodes for patients having mastectomy or who have very extensive disease or high-grade disease with a question of microinvasion, because I'm concerned about patients having sentinel nodes for garden variety DCIS and then winding up getting grossly overtreated if something turns up. Because there was a very interesting paper by a pathologist showing that even benign clusters of cells can wind up in a sentinel node after a needle biopsy. So I don't know whether we understand what that means in DCIS. The place of sentinel node after neoadjuvant chemotherapy is still controversial. We have a paper from the B27 trial going into JCO that hopefully will be out soon, showing that it's virtually the same accuracy as was found in the B32 trial. Again, some of the relative contraindications, previous radiation, previous augmentation mammoplasty, I don't think we know how well or if sentinel node works at all in those settings, but probably we will never get a good answer to some of those small groups of patients.
With a false negative rate in this situation of 9.5%, does that concern you?
It doesn't really concern me. You know, I feel pretty confident in the technique. We've been doing it a long time, and I've seen very few, if any, axillary recurrences that were unexpected. That's probably the most significant thing that could happen. Obviously, the main answer to that question really is going to have to come from the long-term follow-up of the B32 trial. It's the only trial large enough to even think about looking at long-term outcomes, axillary recurrences, and long-term survival, comparing sentinel node only versus axillary node dissection. So ultimately, the answer will have to wait the long-term follow-up. But, you know, I think that's a reasonably acceptable false negative rate. If you take into account that 25 or 26% of patients who are clinically node negative actually have positive nodes, if you have a false negative rate of 10%, I mean, I'm doing sloppy math, but you might miss 1 out of 50 with a positive node. And, you know, for the decreased morbidity, which the Almanac results suggested, I think that's pretty acceptable.
Can you talk about the Almanac data?
The Almanac data were very interesting. It was a very interesting series of presentations, certainly showing a very significantly decreased morbidity in terms of arm edema, sensory loss, arm mobility issues, and lymphedema with sentinel node biopsy. The way they presented the data, which was scientifically pure and correct on an intention-to-treat basis, really overestimates the morbidity of the sentinel node group because it wound up including about 25% of the patients or 20% of those patients actually had an axillary node dissection because they had a positive sentinel node or they had axillary radiation. So the numbers that they actually presented were actually skewed against sentinel node biopsy. So the morbidity of sentinel node biopsy per se is probably very much lower than with the numbers that they presented, which were already much lower than axillary node dissection in the other group.